Here's my take on this second Sunday of the new year. We have had two phenomenal scripture stories to deal with in the midst of some of the most ugly, divisively, politically mean-spirited times I have ever found myself surrounded by. In addition, we are living in the midst of losing to death two phenomenally talented, lovingly committed, and intelligently humble people in our wider congregational life, Shirley Shelton and Herschel Lentz. Further, another of our most regular 90-plus year olds, Ruth Chesmore, is in the hospital with very low blood pressure and has just received a pacemaker, but things aren't quite working there yet. There are in our shared lives so many vastly important issues that we all deal with every day. Hashtag Me Too, Black Lives Matter, LGBTPAI. I'm going to pause there a second because it used to just, I could just roll off LGBT so quickly. But, as that spectrum of sexuality just continues to get identified, it's important to put as much in there as we can. So I do it. And then we worry about hunger, homelessness, chronic illnesses, underemployment, age, addictions, and on and on. Everything is important, and we all need to be focused, informed, caring, and at times confrontational. As a privileged white male in a position of power, I apologize to the women of my world who have been treated with lack of respect, lack of equality, downright assault at the hands of my brothers. I apologize in a similar way to those in the LGBTQPAI community that have suffered in the same ways from those of us in power who have caused suffering and who could have eliminated suffering, and we just have chosen not to. And also, with the utmost sincerity, I apologize to the billions of non-white people of the planet who are treated with such horrendous ongoing assaults, mediated by unexamined racism by those of us in our culture and society. I have been privileged to travel kind of extensively beyond our country's borders. And I know that everywhere I have gone, I have fought against the ugly American, white, pious, Christian bias that I've encountered. I have apologized for more arrogant Americans than you can even imagine possible. I have been sort of hoping that we were moving, into a more humble and stable awareness of ourselves in the greater worldview, and indeed a majority of us have, but we will encounter now every day increased wonder from worldwide visitors here or us abroad, wondering where we stand in regard to our president's most recent abundantly rude comments and racism. And further, the more enlightened and aware folks know that the president's base of support is primarily white Christians. So do we deny our faith or our whiteness? We're pretty much stuck with our color. And for other folks who discover we are Christian, they just laugh and assume, like any foreign-born visitors, that we are part of the problem rather than a meaningful solution, because most folks do not draw faith identity distinctions. We're just all one. Now, time is short this morning, and I want us to focus briefly on our two scriptures that I think kind of speak to some of these issues. The story of Samuel actually hearing the voice of God calling in the night is my favorite, all-time scripture for many reasons. Chief amongst the reasons is that Samuel does not believe that God would be talking to him. Surely God would be talking to his mentor that he is serving. But his mentor, disappointed that he is not being the one called, is faithful to tell young Samuel to listen to that still small voice in the dark, and he does, and it moves his life faithfully forward. It reminds me a bit of the movie the Polar Express and being able to hear or not hear the ringing of the bell? The only requirement of hearing the bell is believing. God is still speaking, and too often I fear that God's silence is not about God's absence or muteness, but the reality that God believes on so many fronts that God has already spoken adequately. And we have perhaps failed to respond to what we know we need to be doing and saying. There are a lot of things in today's environment that we need to be saying to our families, to our work associates, to our students, to our friends, to our worldwide companions. You know what they are. When I stand firm and strong in settings that I prefer not to be so strong in, I am consistently surprised how much basic education I am still required to do. Not everybody, and it shocks me, knows how to stand against racism, against homophobia, against sexual assault, against rude and bullying behavior, or even how to access good information that I just take for granted. Folks, just Google it, right? Be a good teacher, friends. Learn with your companions in life how to move us forward from some of these ugly times that we are in. And ever so briefly, the second story is such a phenomenal story of how to be inviting to faith and faith community. The simple line is this, right? Hey, come and see. It is crucial to notice in this pivotal story of the earliest disciples of Jesus that they are invited to consider following in the way of Jesus by a simple but personal invitation. Hey, why don't you come and see for yourself? There is no theological quarreling going on. There is no threat of you're going to go to hell if you don't go and check it out, or that you're lost in sin and you need to somehow secure the future of your soul. Churches have been arrogantly claiming the keys to salvation when all we are told to do is to offer an invitation to come and see what we believe it means to follow in the way or after the way of Jesus. Now, I know we're a timid people, to be sure, but we should not be so horribly shy that we forego our basic responsibility to ask the simple question, why don't you come and see? And then accompany the person. This is so much different from the hard sell approaching of closing the deal. This is nothing but a pure personal invitation that we are responsible for participating in. Just come and see, by the way, and I'm coming with you. Whether it's inviting someone to come and see the phenomenal faith community that you have created here, or inviting someone to fellowship hour, or play Friday, or a study group, or to work at the shelter, we are often way, way too timid, and our faith community will suffer if we do not step forward and simply say, come and see with me what it's like. I'll take you there. I will be with you every step of the way, and I won't even hold you back if you need to run away. That is not a pressure deal. That is warmly inviting and investing ourselves meaningfully with others. I have never been turned down when I've invited somebody to church. I have never been turned down when I invite somebody to come to my house for dinner. It is all that simple, I think. We need community more than ever before, and we must make it happen, especially so in these days when so many are divided one from another and so much ugly is being spewed like water over Niagara Falls. People need to know there is a community to come to where it'll be safe and they will be supported. Invite. Walk with. Linger with. And let us grow as a faith community to be the living, working, breathing reality of the shalom of God, the peace that passes all understanding. It's okay. It's always okay if someone walks away and says, you know, this isn't for me. You know, you had the rich young guy that came up to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, oh, not much, just sell everything you have and follow me. And he walked away, remember? The next phrase in that scripture is equally important, and it says as he walked away that Jesus loved him. God doesn't love us less just because we say no. All these kids, they listen to us, and they don't do what we say half the time. We don't stop loving them. It's okay if people walk away. It's not okay if we never make the most sincere try, for we will do what we are good at, and that is loving them even as they walk away from us. So be the invitation, friends, to peace, security, challenge, and community that you have always wanted to create. You are it. God is speaking to you, through you. Struggle with the reality of God. Be the woman, be the man that God is luring you to be. Be the dignity that so many fear has been lost.